Welcome to another episode of the Eagles Water Cooler. I'm joined by Andrew. We are going to discuss the 2021 playoff Eagles facing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the wild card round this upcoming Sunday. A lot of Eagles fans were waiting on bated breath for the time and opponent. Seems like it was always going to be Tampa Bay. Maybe it was destiny. But there were a few other teams in play, the Cardinals, the Rams, but wound up being the Bucs, and the Eagles will travel down to Tampa to play them on Sunday. Andrew, let's start right there. How are you feeling about that matchup? And what was it like to watch sort of like a meaningless, for us anyway, last weekend of football, but for this decision, the scheduling mystery?
Yeah, Saturday night against the Cowboys, and I'm sure we'll get into it just briefly. You know, it actually was a promising, you know, first quarter there. And, tailed off a little bit towards the end of the half there. And then the second half was kind of just, it was what it was. I was shocked at how the Cowboys were acting and seemingly celebrating as if they were already in the playoffs and winning a playoff game, if not the Super Bowl. They were jazzed up. And I don't know if that was maybe something that they just, some reverse psychology stuff or I don't know, but it really seemed like they didn't realize who they were playing or, the quality of the starters we were putting out there. But
absolutely. And not even just the players, from coaches all the way up to ownership. Jerry Jones is having the time of his life. I believe you texted me and I thought it captured it really well. What am I not getting? Like, what am I not understanding here? And I felt the same way because it was almost laughable the way that they were approaching this. And not to cut you off, but I just had this thought in my head, just sort of an infamous Billy Madison quote of, you know what, O'Doyle? I think your whole family's going down, you know, just that feeling of like this team in the last week of the season, clearly with an advantage, is kind of struggling at first to get one over on our second and third string defensive players, Dak in the offense, that is. And then they finally break through and sort of pour it on, run up the score. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like a bully kind of move. And I sincerely hope the San Francisco 49ers handle business this weekend, because I think that would be a fitting payback for at least us as Eagles fans, because we weren't looking for much in that game. I didn't expect them to win that game, but I felt like at a point it was like, even for the Cowboys, this is very unsportsmanlike. And the dialogue surrounding it, not just what we saw in the players' reaction, Jerry Jones's reaction, but the narratives afterward. Dak throws 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
It just sets the record.
Really, it's like, okay, you had an extra game. Like, come on.
It was really such a false narrative. So it'll be interesting to see sort of how it shapes up moving into this week for both the Eagles and the Cowboys. But in particular, I think we're all sort of, hoping that the Niners take care of business and bounce the Cowboys in the first round to keep them from getting a playoff win, since we were both in the third grade. the Eagles, again, draw the Bucs. What were your thoughts on that particular part of it? It always seemed that they were the most likely to begin with, but what were your thoughts? What was your reaction?
Yeah, I think percentage-wise, that was obviously the one that had the most scenarios to wind up happening. I don't know. It was interesting because the Rams and 49ers game was back and forth, and, the Rams went up big, and so that was actually going to, throw some things off, but then 49ers came back. So for a while there was, a couple of other possibilities in play. At the end of the day, it is what it is. I think we were always going to face a tough matchup, whether it was the Bucs, whether it was the Cardinals, whether it was the Rams. And then the very small chance it was the Cowboys, that actually would have been pretty nice.
Yeah, especially for what happened the week prior for our previous conversation, but you're right.
Yeah, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, no real surprises. We have a tough matchup against a great quarterback. It is interesting. I think we are a completely different team than when we played them earlier on in the season, and we'll touch on that. But so are the Bucs. I mean, they've gone through a lot of injuries to some star caliber players. And so,
controversy, you know, too.
Yeah, some controversy. I mean, AB, you know, the other week with a heck of a way to go out.
Yeah, that'll throw a monkey wrench into your season.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. I think they're just two different teams. And while we can extrapolate some things from the earlier matchup this season, I think we have to take it as, you know, let's look at more recency, not bias, but let's look at the recent history here.
Yeah, and I think that's really where you have to start, because they're both different teams, and they were both sort of different teams that day, and we'll talk about that aspect of it. But as far as the opponent being drawn, it's always felt like it was going to be the Bucs to me. Yeah. But it was sort of pick your poison, because, you know, the fearsome thing about the Bucs is Tom Brady. You got, you know, Kyler Murray, who poses a certain kind of threat. You got the receivers that the Rams have. So there's all sorts of threats, and again, sort of pick your poison when it comes to that. But I think as far as the Eagles season in the second half and being able to sort of plow their way through their schedule and make it to the playoffs, I think it was always going to end in, or not end, hopefully, but it was always going to lead to a matchup with a quarterback, top flight quarterback like Brady. And obviously they're starting at the top, going for the king right off the bat.
Yeah.
To that end, when the Eagles played them, it was in week 6. They lost 28-22. Score doesn't really tell the whole story. Eagles were behind, I think, 28-7 for a majority of the game. Hurts brought them back, scored, I think, 2 running touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken, and had a chance to win it at the end and just couldn't make it happen. Brady and them kneeled, and that was it. But Gronk did not play in that game for Tampa Bay, and Lane Johnson was sort of right in the midst of his mental health issue when this all went down. So Mailata actually started at right tackle that game and Dillard at left tackle. And the Eagles were struggling to run the ball, ran just once to Miles Sanders in the first half, and I think only 10 times in the whole game. Jordan Howard hadn't been elevated yet. This is just, as you said, a completely different look for this Eagles team, and really for the Bucs team too, who since have lost Antonio Brown, as we mentioned, who killed the Eagles when he played them before. I think it was 140 yards. They just didn't have an answer for him and wound up getting hurt in that game, as well as Chris Godwin, who had a season-ending injury, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, both those players did their damage, and neither team is really looking the same. I guess I wonder, as the Eagles traveled down, let's start it with talking about the elements of the game here. I really wonder, like, what is going to be the approach from a coaching standpoint. And I guess we could start it with this, but you're on the road in Tampa as the 7th seed in the wild card round of the playoffs. If you win the coin toss, do you defer? Do you take the ball?
Yeah.
Let's talk about what you would do, and then let's talk about what you think Sirianni would do, because there's always that duality.
Yeah, I mean, I think the overwhelming majority is to defer so that you get the ball back and you can kick off the second half on offense. I don't know. I would love for them, if they do win, to receive and start taking that, you know, more of a proactive approach. Let's get it going. We've seen, and we've talked about this on the pod, these slow starts that the Eagles have gotten. And it would be interesting to see in those games, did they receive first or did they choose to defer? Who knows? But yeah, but either way, I think it also would show a little bit of character, a little bit of swagger, you know, give us the ball where we want the ball. You know, and anytime you can keep Tom off the field, keep him off the field. So if you can gain an extra possession by starting off the game with the ball, I think you take it. So
I'm with you. And I think it's a double positive. I actually think Sirianni will take the ball. And part of the reason is because of the slow starts of late. The other thing is that, you know, Brady has all kinds of history with that deep of a career, but I think he is a quarterback at this point in his career that if you get the lead and he's playing from behind, you see a different kind of player. And I think he's working with a lot less around him. But I do think that the whole possession thing, you know, that does play out in terms of statistics. If you defer and choose to be on defense first and you get that second half kickoff, you do wind up with more possessions in the game. So you're also keeping Tom Brady off the field in terms of that, just to play devil's advocate. But I do think, the matchup is more what leads me to want to take the ball. And the sort of hubris, the confidence of it. But you better bring it. You better bring it if you're going to do that. And I think it's high risk, high reward to start a game that way. And we'll talk about special teams later, but you got to hope for good starting field position. You got to hope for a lot there. So I'm not sure. I'm still, on the fence as to what they'll do, but I'm inclined to say take the ball.
Yeah. It's funny though, because now I think I'm thinking the other way as you're talking. So if we look at it this way, I don't think there's a realistic chance or that we're going to be ahead by a significant margin. I think if anything, it's going to be a tight first half. If that's the case, starting the second half with the ball might behoove us a little bit better. But again, just like you said, going back and forth, I don't know. I think there's pros and cons to it. I like the idea of starting with some spunk and just getting on the field and getting to it, forcing the issue, running the ball right away.
To the defense.
Correct. But if it's a tight game or the likelihood of us being down, is it more beneficial to get the ball in the second half? I don't know.
All right, Deb. Well, let's like a good steak. Let's let that marinate. I'll come back to that right before we get into offensive and defensive players of the game and kind of see where your feel is at that point. Let's talk a little bit about Nick Sirianni. I've really been impressed with this guy, especially given the scope of all that's happened this year. And we detailed that on our last podcast. But I think the keys in this game for me are, and maybe they're the same for you, please feel free to add, or to run early and stick to it, to involve Dallas Goedert and Devontae Smith early and often, and to attempt for some downfield plays instead of so much horizontal, sort of more of a lateral kind of approach to the game. But again, that's sort of high risk, high reward. So anything to add to that, the run game, Goddard and Smith and trying to take some shots?
I think the Goddard Smith, I think they're going to play a large factor in this game. Ultimately, with the success riding on Hurts' ability to throw them the ball, we have a great rushing offense. The Bucs know that, though, and they've got a pretty strong rushing defense. So they could go all out and stuff the box, shut down the run as much as they can, and put the ball in Jalen's hands to beat them through the air. And
which is what they did in week 6. And correct. I think the run game was not what it is now, but obviously we'll get to it in a little bit. The Eagles' stable of running backs is not quite what it was then either. So it's sort of an interesting dichotomy. But I hope that winds up being the case and Goddard and Smith can make themselves open. And correct. Both of those players have been able to do that this year. But I think there's going to need to be, and I'll bring this up a little later, another target of some kind. As far as Sirianni, though, and being a play caller and sort of the manager of the team, do you think this is, do we see him thrive in this big spot? This is a big spot for him as a first year head coach going to Tampa to play Brady and the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, to play I would say even before his Super Bowl with the Buccaneers, a heralded coach, Bruce Arians, throughout the league, very well known, very well established, was a DC for a long time before he got to be a head coach. I don't know. What I hope is Sirianni's himself, I guess, to start, and doesn't sort of puff up too much or cower or sort of, fall down to the moment too much. I hope he just stays as himself. And we have a lot of evidence, flower analogies and all, that he do that. But I guess I wonder what you think. Do you think he maybe turtles, that's the word, in the moment, that there's a lot of pressure on him. And in this situation, that's a lot for a new head coach.
100%. And I think it's, I think if this was the Nick Sirianni from earlier in the season, I would have a lot more trepidation going into this game.
It's a big statement about his development.
Yeah. And we talked about this, I think, on the last pod. Like, he deserves a lot more credit than we're probably giving him. And a lot of that has to do with, maybe his personality outside of the, what we see through the media. But look, he's figured out how to get this team into winning positions. He's figured out how to make this offense, which is, there's not a ton of superstars here, right? Like, there's a lot of, there's some good players, but there ain't, you know,
solid, pro bowlers, more solid.
Pro bowlers. Yeah, it's solid. And he's gotten them to play to the, you know, best of their abilities. And I don't have any reason to doubt that he'll do that against the Bucks. However, there is the factor, it's Brady, it's Arians, it's defending champs. We get down two touchdowns early. Does he panic? Does he, you know, what happened last time where you just start throwing the ball and is Jalen Hurts going to throw the ball 40 times? You know, hopefully he's able to weather some of the storms. Maybe it's back and forth. Maybe, you know, he's brought a lot of character to the team, and I think there's a lot of buy-in. So I think you said it best. If he's himself, then I think we have a chance to be competitive.
Yeah, and teams sort of embodying the identity of their coach. I think that we'll talk about this in a bit, but the look of the running back room is going to be a little bit different in terms of availability, some injuries going on with Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard. But I think the faith for Sirianni has to be in the line, the run game and the line's ability to block and create opportunities. Because I think if they're doing that early, that's a really imposing thing for a defense. You can see defenses, even on TV, get frustrated when a team just keeps running it on them. So I have pretty high expectations for Sirianni. My hope is that he's himself, as I mentioned before. Let's talk a little bit about Jalen Hurts and our expectations for him in this game. I really think that he is a player who has made comebacks and things like this, but I think for the most part, you can tell what kind of day Jalen's going to have early on. And I don't think that's universal, but in a lot of his good performances, you can see it. And a lot of his poor performances, you can see it. And those are the polarizing ones. But there are plays, and I mentioned this on the last podcast more recently, where he's staying behind the line of scrimmage instead of taking off, allowing players to come open and throwing downfield. He's giving receivers chances. Some of these throws he's been making, I'll just mention him again, the Devontae throw against the Broncos, the Quez throw down the sideline to, against the Giants, the Greg Ward touchdown throw where he had to pivot for the ball. I mean, the guy has shown the ability to be able to do it and give his receivers chances, but this is a big spot. And there's, again, a high variance, a high failure chance. Mm-hmm. And he's in a unique position, but he's been in these positions before in college. Obviously, this is a different caliber. What you mentioned before about the run game and the Tampa defense recognizing what the Eagles do well, you're 100% right. Todd Bowles, who's going to be a candidate for a head coaching position somewhere else next year, who's been the DC now in Tampa for a while, that's what he did before with Hurts. He said, you're going to have to beat us through throwing the ball. And at that point in the year, Hurts was really not accurate and not able to get into that rhythm early. So do you trust Hurts' ability to, if they are to stack the box and do what you mentioned earlier, do you trust his ability to find Devontae and find Dallas Goedert? Because that's probably what it's going to take.
Do I trust it? Probably not particularly. I think we've seen enough from Jalen where he can make these dynamic plays. But can he do it consistently?
Ain't it.
I don't know. But we'll have to see. I mean, I think if they look, he's not going to stay in the pocket. But if maybe we can do some designed, maybe he runs a lot more this game too. Maybe there's some design runs for him to get out of the pocket. Like you were saying, he made a lot of his throws. A lot of his great throws are, you know, on the run, usually rolling to what, the right side, I think.
Yeah. He has that one tendency. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something. I think you're onto something. And I do think that his ability to run probably hasn't been showcased as much as his ankles had some soreness in the last few weeks. But I do see maybe not the Saints game where he just faked that guy out of his shoes and ran it.
Yeah.
I don't see necessarily something like that, but I do see him posing a threat to the Bucs defense in the way of a run game that we really haven't seen in a couple weeks. I think we'll be reminded of just how special he is as a runner, but I hope that he doesn't sort of default to that. I mentioned regression last week on our podcast, and I think that's something that concerns me with him. I think it's running in those spots where, first of all, he's not going to get hurt, but also running in those spots where he can really use his athleticism and get those first downs on a sideline or something like that, and do what he needs to do. I don't need the somersault whenever that game was. I think that was against the Chargers. But I do think it's gonna take one or two of those. I don't want to see Jalen Hurts be the leading rusher in this game. I mentioned earlier on a podcast that there's actually a a negative correlation with that in Eagles wins. When he's the leading rusher, typically the Eagles are losing. And it kind of makes sense because he's pressing a bit. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 losses versus one win where he was the leading rusher this year. So there's your
correlation. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty compelling stat. So obviously he's going to be a hugely important factor. And I think he has a chance in this game, win or lose, to really communicate a lot to the Eagles organization, to the Eagles fan base. So I think his position, I think, is safe in my eyes, but as far as, you know, what he can do to enhance what he's already done, I think he's in a prime spot. Let's talk a little bit about one of his receiving targets in Devontae Smith. I really think this guy is going to show up in this game. Just the old adage, the big time players make big time plays in big time games. I think that's going to be him. Again, has that pedigree coming from college. What are your expectations for him? And kudos to Devontae for passing DeSean Jackson's rookie receiving record, albeit, you know, took an extra game to do it. And I know that there was some debate about that, but a record's a record, and kudos to him. And he's just such an exciting player to have. But what are your expectations for him in this game? Obviously, it's going to get some targets.
Yeah, I mean, like we've been discussing, I think the focus is going to be from the Buccaneers' perspective, stopping the run and making Jalen throw. So, you know, I think you'd have to expect Devontae to get 6 to 8 receptions here. It's just a matter of what can you do with them. Look, the guy's a great route runner. He's going to get open. He's going to get a couple of receptions. It's, you know, can he make them impactful? So I also don't expect a 10 reception, 120 yard, 2 touchdown game. I don't think he's going to explode here. But I think he's Mr. Reliable. I think when, you know, if the game is tight, if we're behind, I think, you know, Jalen should look to him early and often. So I hope he gets a ton of targets. I hope he pulls down a bunch of receptions. But I think he's going to be what we've seen all season, which is a great route runner, you know, a guy who catches everything thrown to him. And, you know, hopefully it's impactful.
And a guy who really kind of thrives between the 20s. I think it's probably a situation too, where, you know, he's making a lot of those clutch plays in the middle of the field or on the sideline to keep drives alive. And those are the situations where he gets targeted. Wouldn't hate seeing him become a red zone threat. I know he's not a big guy and the space runs short down there, but he's been able to do it. Some of those sideline catches he's made this year have been in those tight windows. So I think reasonable expectations for Devontae given his pedigree coming in, but we've also seen it now over a whole year. And it's been a long time as Eagles fans since we could claim that with a drafted wide receiver. Let's talk a little bit about Dallas Goedert. I think he's got his work cut out for him. As far as defensive backs in the middle of the Tampa defense, Goddard's going to be facing a lot more of the teeth of that with Devin White, Lavonte David, and Antoine Winfield Jr., who's another player, did not play the last time that the Eagles and Bucks played. One of my favorite safeties in the league, just a dog. But, you know, Devin White, Lavonte David, Goddard is going to be matched up against some of the better players in the league who can not only hit and play tough, but are also good coverage players. So I think he's going to need to be a factor. I still think he's a size mismatch and an advantage for the Eagles, but you want to be TE1. This is the game to show it. How do you feel as a sort of a Goddard non-believer for a long time? It feels like you're coming around to me, but
I'm not a non-believer. I have, you know, a measured approach when it comes to Goddard. I don't think he is of the top tier ilk. I think he's a serviceable, solid receiver. That being said, I agree. I think he does have his work cut out for him. But he's going to be the guy that's going to have to produce, I think, the most, even more than Devontae. We'll keep going back to the well here, but you know the Buccaneers are going to try to stop the run. So they're going to probably put – I think they run a 3-4 defense. So, you know, a lot of the linebackers are probably going to have to play up, and he's got to be able to get free. And I think he probably size-wise matches up nicely against a couple of them. I know, you know, Devin White and Minter are, you know, great, great linebackers out there. But, you know, he's got to get open, right?
He does.
A lot of the success that the offense will have will be because he is getting open. He's getting chunk plays. He's getting first downs. So, you know, I don't have any reason to believe that you know, he'll face tough matchups, but I don't think, given his size and supposed skill set that everybody's a believer in, that it should be an issue for him, right? So, you know, a lot, I think, rides on him.
Yeah, I have higher expectations, I think, for Dallas Goedert, mostly because of the competition and also because of this sort of assuming that tight end one spot. And I think he probably will be that safety net for Jalen Hurts, and hopefully yeah. they can make some connections early. It seems like on a lot of those plays outside of structure where Hurts is rolling to his right and throwing downfield, it seems like Goddard's on the other end of it a lot of the time. Yeah. But they can't be, Goddard and Smith can't be their only options. Who do you think, and I know it's slim pickings, but who else is going to sort of emerge as another receiving target? Is it going to be Quez? Is Rager going to all of a sudden wake up? I mean, who else do we see them sort of utilizing in the pass game?
Man, that's a good question. I mean, I'd like to say that they get the backs, you know, flaring out, but they really haven't done that. So
not as much as I thought.
Yeah. So I don't know if, you know, you're going to see Boston necessarily as a targeted receiver. So in terms of wide receiver, it's either Watkins or Rager. You know, Watkins I had more faith in, but Rager seems to still be getting more snaps. So
I know. Well, and what's funny is, and I heard this on another podcast, thought it was a great point. Both Watkins and Rager are in the fourth quarter of that Cowboys game, that blowout game, and Watkins is making plays and Rager's not. Yeah. You know, one thing I think about is that there's a player who's kind of come on of late in Greg Ward that I think has just enough of that sort of like veteran presence. I could see Greg Ward making a play in this game. I think I had texted our group that I think that there will be some sort of situation. Maybe it is a play outside of structure, but I could see that sort of old reliable role for him in terms of being a guy who's been there, sort of a veteran guy, a former quarterback, and, you know, for at least the Eagles purposes, the oldest guy in the room.
Yeah, I guess to your point, though, I think you're thinking, yeah, can Greg Ward make a play and will he have a catch that is significant? Probably. He seems to do that on a weekly basis. But I think you're thinking more of, can somebody step up and catch four balls, right? Five balls.
Yeah, I think I am thinking more on a sustained, not so much like an isolated play. And maybe it's linked with what we talked about earlier and taking some shots downfield. I mean, we've seen Quez, you know, burn a lot of defenses.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Maybe they open something like that up. And,
yeah. I would go with, so I think Watkins, I think we both can probably agree on, I know you'd like old reliable, but I think Watkins is the guy, maybe the lone guy in the receiving core that can make a substantial volume-based difference.
Yeah. And I think in the playoffs, you know, there's something to be said about that idea of taking shots downfield, even if they don't hit, that if it happens early in the game, that's good to show the defense that you're willing to do that because it sort of makes them check themselves a little bit. I think that's even more of an imperative in the playoffs. So
sure.
I want to see the Eagles do it, and I want to see them do it in a way that's smart. And obviously you're taking a risk no matter what, but it seems like Quez would be that guy. Let's talk a little bit about the running backs. We got Miles Sanders with some sort of injured hand. I was reading fractures in some places, but you got Jordan Howard with a shoulder issue. So both the sort of lead guys are banged up, but both are expected to play. Kenny Gainwell, I thought, was really impressive against the Cowboys. I think he's been impressive in most spots this year, had one bad fumble I can remember. But in terms of old reliable, you're talking about Boston Scott. So what do we expect? Especially, let's start with Miles, who's, you know, the head guy, the sort of superstar of the room. What do we expect from him coming in with possibly a broken hand?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think ultimately if he can go, he's going. And, you know, I don't know if there'll be some kind of pitch count or anything like that. But I also know that he probably can't carry the ball 20 times. So
he's had fumbling issues. You know, that worries me a little bit. If it's your hand, the thing that secures the ball, that worries me a little bit. Other teams are going to know his hands hurt, the Bucks are going to know his hands hurt.
Yeah. But look, if he can go, you know, give him the ball. He's dynamic enough where, you know, he makes plays and he's shown that time after time. You know, I feel like for every three runs that he doesn't hit the hole, when he finally does, it's an impactful play. So I don't know what my expectations are other than if he's in the game that he's going to be, you know, an impactful player. The same thing goes with Boston Scott. When he's in the game, you know, he's going to make a play. He's always falling forward. He's always, you know, getting positive yards. So I think he's probably got to be the guy, because no matter if, you know, if Sanders can go, if Howard can or cannot go, Boston's still going to get his touches. And he makes the most of them. So he's the guy. He's the guy I'm relying on, I think, to either calm things down or to, you know, pump up the offense or pick up these key third downs. So he would be my guy. But my expectations for Sanders is to, you know, do what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Scott gives him that spark. I think Miles is that dude. But I think Scott gives them that spark. To me, Jordan Howard is the type of running back you really want to have in the playoffs, especially if you're playing a defense that's trying to stack the box, that, you know, if you keep that battering ram coming at him, eventually it's going to give. So my hope is that they're all healthy. And honestly, my hope is that they all get used. And maybe in terms of using running backs in the passing game, that Gainwell, that was sort of his reputation before he came in, that he was this hybrid. So the running game is going to need to be a factor. And again, when it goes to Sirianni, and we'll talk about the other side of the ball in just a second, you got to stick with the run game and the offensive line, regardless of the personnel. If Miles wakes up that day and his other hand's broken, or Jordan, you know, whoever is back there, let them run the ball. Agreed. Let's talk about the other side of the ball and Jonathan Gannon, who's getting some looks for a head coaching position potentially for next year, but still has the playoffs ahead of him. This is a guy who's been really frustrating this year, despite some of the discrepancies in our watching experience and what the stats bear out. But what do you see in terms of this game and blitzing, because I think that's something that shows us, the viewer, and that shows the offense that the defense is willing to be aggressive. And I think in a playoff scenario on the road, it's important to do that, but selectively. He's a new defensive coordinator. It's kind of surprising to me he's getting so many head coaching looks.
Yeah,
he's had an okay year in Philly, but it's more that he's a new defensive coordinator. He's still new to that position. How does he play this situation? How does he navigate this when it comes to blitzing Brady, who's arguably one of the best quarterbacks against the blitz?
I don't think he'll blitz a single time. I know, you know, I think, you know, there's going to be this default bend don't break type of thing. You're going to see a lot of zone. I think what you'll see mostly, or what I hope, is some stunts on the defensive line and some confusion that way. But I can't think that he has the confidence in his linebackers and cornerbacks to blitz at all, especially when Brady's just going to be able to pick them apart.
It's a hard thing, because they have been a team, and I think I mentioned this last week, I think they were eighth in terms of points allowed. And after the Cowboys game, they jumped to 18th. Which is just, that's kind of a paper thin stat now that you look at it. But I think there has to be at least the threat of a blitz. I think there has to be some disguise. There has to be something that shows that they're going to mix something up, because I think if they just sit back and are reactive, I think Brady's probably going to take advantage of that.
I don't think
that you need to throw the kitchen sink at him and it needs to be a zero blitz, but I think you need to try some things to make pressure happen if you're not seeing pressure early, because they're in a position now where, I mean, they're, I think, 29th or 30th in the league in sacks. I mean, they're not a team that gets a lot of sacks. They get a lot of pressures, which is awesome, but you're gonna need the defensive line to get home just with the front four. And if they can't, you're going to at least have to think about some kind of a stunt, some kind of a twist, some kind of a blitz to mix things up for Brady, who has seen everything, but in the rhythm of a game like this with a different team, I don't know. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, that's fair. I think a lot depends on game flow, right? So if it's tight, maybe you throw a blitz in there. If you're, you know, it might start off as cautious, but as things progress, maybe you start, you know, taking those chances. So game flow will be huge on if he does. I just don't have any type of confidence that that's in his mind.
How about in terms of early in the game, allowing Slay and Nelson to play up on the Bucs receivers versus playing back in zone, and moments of press, you know, when we've seen them usually leading to interceptions or at least PBUs. It seems to me that in this game, you don't necessarily want to sell out, but you want to show that you're going to be only allowing for so much. And again, this sort of sitting back thing is just really frustrating to watch.
Yeah, I think you're going to see Gronk go wild a little bit. I think, you know, I don't know. Mike Evans is a tough matchup too. So I don't know.
I see Slay. That's his job. To me, Sunday is Slay and Mike Evans, and that is a tough match. Mike Evans, probably one of my favorite receivers in the league. Just sort of a weird combination of skills and his body type. But he's a crafty guy. And even as the only receiver, he can still do damage. He did it all through college. He's been a great receiver, regardless of who's been his quarterback, going back to Jameis Winston being his quarterback. So the guy can play. To me, that's Slay's job. But when it comes to Gronk, I mean, TJ Edwards has been playing a lot better, but he's not a coverage guy, and Gronk can run a little bit. So
that's going to be a tough one.
Anthony Harris and Rodney McLeod and sort of bracket Gronk. They dealt with him in the Super Bowl, but you have Malcolm Jenkins, who's sort of a great equalizer in that scenario. So I agree with you. And I think his number one plan after stopping the run, the Bucs will have Fournette and have Ronald Jones, needs to be stopping Mike Evans and stopping Gronk. Because beyond that, because of the Bucs injury situation, Antonio Brown's mental health and departing from the team, the cupboard's kind of bare when it comes to receiving targets. So Brady is that guy who will sort of make unknowns known, but I think those are the main threats you got to worry about. Yeah.
Just a quick update. Cause I think you just mentioned Ronald Jones. It looks like he is unlikely to play along with another receiver, Cyril Grayson.
Okay.
So you're kind of down to, you know, these, you know.
And I think Fournette had some lingering.
He's on IR. So you have Kayshon Vaughn, who is kind of a dynamic spark pluggy kind of guy. They also have Le'Veon Bell sneaking back there. So, you know, he might get his touches. He doesn't scare me by any means, but, you know, it's not a nobody. So anyway, I don't know. I mean, if let's say, you know, if Slay is able to shut down Mike Evans, we're able to contain the run, they don't have a lot of other options other than Gronk, who will probably, you know, do his thing. But that's it.
You don't have to worry about Brady scrambling. I mean, that's a huge factor that I think creates a sort of a mismatch in this game. And in terms of the flow of the game, I think that's, you're going to see a very different dynamic when we're watching the Eagles offense versus the Bucs offense for a lot of reasons, but one of them is that. And I think he's going to be limited in his targets, as you're saying, but he's also limited in terms of if those guys aren't open, there's not a whole lot he can do. So we'll have to wait and see there. Special teams has been extremely frustrating this year. We'll talk about them briefly. We just hope Jake Elliott keeps up what he's been doing, because he is the highest field goal percentage, I think, in Eagles history. It was like 90-some percent.
Yeah.
But kick and punt returns and field position and how those two things align has been just such a horrible part of watching this year with Jalen Reagor. I'll be honest with you. I was impressed with that. Is it Huntley? Last week. I thought he looked good. And I think it was on a kickoff return. I don't know if it was on a punt. But either way, he had a little bit of juice, and I'm not saying because he's inexperienced, go ahead and give him that opportunity, but they really need to be starting. How many drives have we seen that start backed up or at the 20 or at the 15 that just can't get going? Yeah, all of them. And it's going to have to force a downfield play that, you know, it becomes a slippery slope. So I guess I wonder, from your point of view, Jake Elliott and everything else in consideration, how will special teams impact this game for the Eagles? Do you see it being how will it play in?
Well, this is kind of the type of game where a special teams play, you know, will be hopefully perfectly timed and much needed. So I don't know. We haven't really sniffed a field goal block or a punt block, anything like that. So I don't know if it will come there, but I think you bring up Jason Huntley, and even last week, you know, he looked great back there. He really did. Uh-huh. And he gives you automatically a lot more confidence than when Reagor is running the ball back.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it comes from him. But I agree. If he can, if they can kind of win the battle of field position, you know, that's huge. So, you know, aside from Jake Elliott being Mr. Consistent and knocking down a few field goals, I think where the potential game-changing play from special teams will be is from Jason Huntley.
I like that. Mine's a little bit less boring, but I do think that the phrase of like take the points when it comes to field goals is going to be, again, more of an imperative in the playoffs. So I think Jake Elliott's role is, you know, even more significant. I actually think the punter is going to play a big role. He's had such a high variance year. Yeah. We've seen him, what is it, the graveyard, they call it, where it's like, you know, right by the pylon. We've seen him do that this year in crazy spots, but the last few weeks, he's just been so inconsistent. I think that's going to be, I'm not saying it'll make the difference necessarily for the better, but I think if he has one of his on days, it's going to help the Eagles a whole lot if Brady's backed up and they can bring some heat. But I do think every little bit is going to matter. And he's varied a lot. I've been to two games this year where he's had unbelievable punts that just really helped out the Eagles' defensive field position. So all those things are going to add up. And with a player like Brady, he's going to take advantage of every little thing he gets. So let's wrap it up. Before we get to players, Andrew, coin toss. You taking the ball?
Yeah, give me the ball.
Give me the ball.
Give me the ball. Let's do
this. So speaking of give me the ball, let's talk about offensive players of the game. Who's going to be your offensive player of the game this week? And maybe give me one that's your offensive player of the game and one guy you're thinking, man, I really hope this guy has a day. So a guy who's like, this is my guy, but man, if this guy can go off, that'd be nice to see.
Okay. Look, a lot is going to have is predicated on the success of the offensive line, but I'm not going to pick them. I think you got to pick somebody from the running back, wide receiver, Jalen, tight end, whatever. I think, and we talked about this earlier, and he's maybe not my favorite guy, but he's the guy that's going to be able to make the difference on the offense and win this game for the Eagles, and it's Dallas Goedert.
I like that.
So he's going to be the player of the game. He's going to eat up a lot of receptions.
I like it.
And he has to. So yeah. he's the guy. He's the dude.
I like how you said that. He really does. He's in that position. So, yep.
Cool. And then if there's another guy that I – what was it? Like
really a guy that you're saying Dallas Goedert's my guy. He's going to do his thing. He's my player of the game.
Yeah.
But if you were to look down the roster and go, man, I really like to see this guy kind of shine at some point.
I mean, it's Boston Scott.
Nice. I think that's who it was going
to
be.
Yeah, and he's close to being an offensive player of the game, but I think
and he's got playoff experience. You know, it's not a ton, but he does. And I think, you know, he's been with the team a long time, and he's been a practice squad guy. He's been up and down all that way. So I like both of those. As far as offensive players of the game.
Yeah, who you got?
I've been all over. So offensive line is the first one that comes to mind. Obviously, Jalen Hurts is the first one that comes to mind. Sure. I'm going to eschew both of those because we have to hope those two are. I think both of us are just saying we have to hope both of those are great performances. But I have to go with Devontae Smith. I have to think that Devontae Smith has a great game. Again, it might be more between the 20s, but I see him as being clutch. I don't see him as going over 100 yards, but give me Devontae with 75 and a touchdown.
Nice.
Yeah. Like as far as a player I'd like to see really shine, I think Quez Watkins gets his due this week.
I
wanted to say Kenny, but I think that based on Howard being good enough to play health-wise, Miles being good enough to play, I think Gainwell's going to kind of get buried. Although I'm hopeful, just to put that on the shelf, I'm very hopeful for him for the future. I like what I've seen in him. Yeah. But that Quez would be my guy. And my hope is that for an offense that we've seen move the ball pretty well, that we see a big gash play like that and that they're willing to make those types of plays. All right, defensive player of the game, Andrew. Same structure.
So I think everything is predicated on Slay being able to stop Mike Evans. We just talked about a few minutes ago. He's got to be the defensive player of the game. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he needs to have pass breakups or picks, you know, stats, but his coverage needs to be there. He needs to shut Mike Evans down because that guy takes over games. Mm-hmm. And so he needs to limit the damage. And if you can do that, we stand a chance. So Slay, my player of the game, I think he does. I don't think he gets a pick or anything like that, but then he shuts Mike Evans down like he's done to most teams wide receiver ones all season long, and that's why he's a Pro Bowler.
I like that. I have to be honest. I went back and forth about this, but I'm going with Fletcher Cox. And the reason is that at the end of the year, Fletcher Cox tends to really come on strong, tends to have really good Decembers and beyond into the playoffs. I think that having rested last week, the way that we've seen him play and be disrupted the last few weeks, I think the matchup with Brady, the history with Brady, all that, I think we see Fletcher Cox be a disruptor on defense. I'd love to see him get a sack. I don't think he does, but I think we hear his name called and we just see him ripping through the line. The guy I'd really like to see a hopeful would be Avante Maddox. And he's made plays this year all year long, but I think he's going to be a player who, because Brady is going to be targeting the middle of the field, not only the safeties and linebackers will be important, but the slot corner will be important. And Avante's been great all year. He's played Brady before. He has playoff experience, and he's gotten his hands on the ball before. So I see Avante as making a play in this game. And yeah, it's a little bit of hail to Pitt there, a little bit of Pitt love, but but he's my guy. And I guess maybe as a bonus one, maybe this will be for both of us, but big Milt, man, Milton Williams. He has just been so fun to watch the last few weeks. Yeah. And he was wrecking the Cowboys starting O-line. I mean, he was just wrecking, you know, for the rest of the starters that weren't playing. So, you know, I think he's a player who's coming on at just the right time. And he was that player that there was all that controversy between Howie and the other front office executive about that pick. So let's hope. Speaking of let's hope, let's get to score predictions and we'll wrap up with that. The Eagles will travel down to Tampa for a 1 o'clock game. We got Aikman and Buck for the, for the broadcast. I've actually been doing a lot of Marilyn Mike the last few weeks. I've kind of enjoyed that. But it is a sync, usually a little bit of a sync issue, but they'll go down to play Tom Brady in this wild card round here. So what do you think, Andrew? What's going to go down?
Yeah, well, I think we absolutely covered the 8.5.
Thank you for bringing that ridiculous line.
Ridiculous line. And I think the Bucks are like plus 420 and we're minus 350. So just like substantially gross odds against us. You know, that being said, I think we're competitive in this game. I would love to think that we stay in it to the end. I do think it will be difficult to go down to Tampa and beat, you know, the defending champs and one of the best teams again this year. So I think it's probably, let's go 24-20, a close but tough loss for the Birds.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I really do think it's one of those situations where the Bucs are down a lot of players and the Eagles have been hot and at the right time and they're sort of figuring themselves out. But there's this feeling in me, and I don't want it to be there, but it's there, of seeing a lot of the things that we've seen this year that have made us go, ugh, and seeing those same things reappear. And I think the worst way that could show up would be through Jalen Hurts' regression. And I actually don't think that we're going to see that. But I think penalties are something that comes to mind. It's the first thing that comes to mind as a killer. And inexperience of the head coach, maybe inexperience of the quarterback. So for that reason, I'm going to say I also think the Bucs are going to win this game. But I'm thinking it's going to be a little – well, you said 24-20?
Correct.
Yeah, I see it being Bucs – let's see. Bucs 30, Eagles 24.
A little bit more high scoring. So, okay.
Yeah, but – I just to run a scenario by you, if we are to win this game, if the Eagles come away with the win, finish this sentence. If the Eagles win this game, it's because of a play made by
Quez Watkins.
Wow. Wow. That's huge. And what's crazy about that is neither of us took him as the player of the game, but he could make the play of the game.
Exactly. It's going to be one of those weird games where it's going to have to be this like unsung hero that comes through. So yeah, why not him?
Okay. I don't think it's, for me, that if is a defensive, like right away, I don't think of offense. I think of defense. So the first thing that came to my mind was a pick from Darius Slay.
Okay.
Because I think the targets are going to be there. And I think that's something that's unique. You brought that up earlier with Darius following Mike Evans. And I think the targets are going to be there. He's going to get his chances, especially with the rest of the wide receiving core depleted, but we have to hope that, you know, Slay comes to play. Slay is not a player who's had a lot of playoff experience when he was with the Lions and things like that. So you got to figure he's going to bring his A game in this situation. And I think that's the type, I mean, in my opinion, if the Eagles can get a turnover in this game, they will win this game. If they can create a turnover in this game, they'll win this game. I think it's a different thing also if Brady just sails it in the middle of the field and McLeod just like stands there and catches a punt. But I think if they can force a turnover, whether it's through an interception or a strip sack, that would be really reminiscent of
Brandon Graham.
Yeah. I think that's the sort of caliber play that's going to need to be made. It's going to have to come from something like that. Or as I mentioned, just before we got into players of the game, something from the special teams, that's going to make the difference, because the mismatch is clear. Vegas knows it, maybe not by 8.5, but you know, it's something where would you be shocked? I guess that's maybe something we get at. Would you be shocked if the Eagles won this game? Is shocked the word you would use?
Shocked. No. Pleasant, like surprised. Yeah. But downright shock? No. I mean, a lot of things have to go right. But no, shocked, I don't think.
Yeah, I think it's kind of more of one of those, you know, like that gif of Jack Nicholson just kind of nodding. It's kind of like one of those where like it just seems like everything's kind of going the right way. Like they're just kind of cooking right now. And even Brady and the Bucks, like they were just kind of like, yeah, we'll just move you over here and kind of keep going on this path. And I think we're going to learn, regardless, as fans, we're going to learn a lot. Obviously, we know a lot already about what we feel the Eagles need. And Andrew and I are pretty big on the draft, so we'll do a lot of talking about that in the offseason. But when it comes to this game, I think we're going to learn a lot. And win or lose, I think we could still come away with a lot of positives when it comes to the most important pieces in Hurts and Sirianni. But Andrew, we'll hope for better than we predicted. But go Birds, man.
Let's go Birds.
Go Birds.